Hey, you're listening to the Creative Pep Talk Podcast. We help you build a thriving creative career. I'm your host, Andy J. Pizza. You can stay up to date with all things Creative Pep Talk by following me on Instagram at Andy J. Pizza. Let's jump into today's episode. This episode is sponsored by Skillshare. Skillshare is an online learning community for creators with more than 25,000 classes in design, business, and more. You'll discover countless ways to fuel your curiosity, creativity, and career. Take classes in social media marketing, mobile photography, creative writing, or even, I don't know, illustration. Whether you're looking to discover a new passion, start a side hustle, or gain new professional skills, Skillshare is there to keep you learning, thriving, and reaching for new goals. 2 free months of Skillshare, skillshare.com/creativepep. You got no excuses. Get on there. This episode is also sponsored by you. Well, that is if you're a Patreon backer. You can become a sponsor of the show today. Every little bit counts. Even just $2 an episode makes a huge difference. Become a Creative Pep Talk Creative Pepperoni by going to patreon.com/creativepeptalk. Today on the show, I want to introduce you to my friend Love Is Wise. Yes, that's her real name. She gets that question all the time. What a brilliant name, but also she is a phenomenal illustrator. She is the second black female to have done a New Yorker cover, an illustrate a New Yorker cover, and she's done it twice. She's groundbreaking. She's making work for the likes of Google and the New York Times and da 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 da, all these amazing clients. She's only just graduated like a little over a year ago from art school, and she is just kicking butt and taking names. But the reason I want to talk to her is I'm very fascinated with her approach to her career. It's this very similar approach that I have, except I have so many things to learn from her. It's kind of one part achiever, pragmatic approach to doing your thing, and one part flow and mysticism and getting connected into that intuitive space of following that call. And so I wanted to have Love Is on the show to talk about how she thinks about her illustration in sort of a mystical healing magical process. And we don't give a lot of room to the kind of mystical side of creativity. And part of that reason is because there's been so much work done over the years by artists about the mystical, elusive quality of creativity. But the truth is, even though I don't talk about it that much on the show, that's the way I engage with my own practice. And I'm not really interested in dissecting whether it is mystical or if it's just tapping into the physical reality that we don't quite understand, you know, higher dimensions and whatnot. But that's what we dive into in this episode of the show. I'm also going to put out a challenge. We talk about kind of goal setting, not so much with words, but with pictures. And so I want to challenge you to illustrate or just draw, if you're not an illustrator, and post on Instagram your future self living your creative dreams and hashtag it with hashtag illustrate your future. I want to go check those out. I like this idea of these new images opening off limits in our mind. So go check it out. I'm going to try to contribute mine later this week. Hashtag illustrate your future. Here she is. The lovely, the wonderful Love Is Wise. What I wanted to do is I like to start, and you know, if this is your hero's journey, go back to the ordinary world before you answered the call to illustration, before you knew what illustration was. Mm-hmm. I mean, like back to the womb nearly.
My favorite place. Oh my God.
Like early days, can you just kind of give me a picture of what your childhood was like up to when you started to get into illustration?
Yeah. So my first encounter with art was through my dad, and I grew up in DC, and we would always go to the Smithsonian's because they were around, they were free, and it was everywhere, and there's so many different things to see. So he would always take me to the museums, and I just fell in love with contemporary art because it was what I connected most with, just seeing everyday people and just different spaces, especially people that look like me, was super important to me. So I was like, I really want to do that. Like, I really want to draw. I really want to paint. And he really encouraged that. He was a photographer as well. So whether it would be just putting a camera in my hand or just buying me some cheap acrylic paints or some pencils and paper to draw with, it was just always encouraged. So
how early was that? How old were you?
I think I was, I was maybe like, I feel like I was like 5 or 6, as early as I can really remember, when I started to draw. Of course, I was always like drawing on walls and stuff, but like younger than that. But, you know, that's when it was really like important to me.
Yeah. And so were you like the art kid all the way through school?
I was the weird ass kid. Yes. I was the weird art kid. Like, and every year I can remember. And I would kind of, drawing was, it was super hard for me because I wasn't, I wasn't taught how to draw properly. Yeah. I wasn't traditionally trained. So I would just get so upset with myself because I was like, I have these images in my head and I want to make them, but I can't make them. You know, so it was kind of an ongoing struggle, and I would leave it, and I would come back to it, and I would leave it, and I would come back to it. But it was always around.
Well, that's a weird thing about illustration, is I feel like it sounds like a joke, but I feel like everybody thinks of it as being about drawing.
When yeah.
I think it's a lot more about a lot of other things, like, I mean, just picture making in general, but an accurate ability to draw doesn't necessarily translate into being a good illustrator, you know?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Different things. So what was drawing for you as a kid, or making art? Like, what was it, an escape, or was it just pure fun?
Ooh, it was definitely an escape, and also a mix of fun, but it frustrated me more than it gave me fun, which is pretty true today as well.
But, I was gonna say, oh no, because that's so funny, because when I think about your stuff, and I was thinking through even these questions, I'm thinking, man, I'm afraid that she's gonna be like, it's just been great, because you're such a joyful spirit, and I, you know, it just Thank seems you. Like to emanate all this amazing color and shapes and all this stuff. And I thought, man, I'm gonna start digging in there, and Love Is just gonna be like, yeah, it's been pretty much amazing since day one. So it was frustrating. So why? What is that? Because like when I was a kid, I actually got started drawing because my cousin drew this Ninja Turtle. And I thought, I could do better than that. And so it was like, rooted in competition. I'm sure that's still somewhere in there, but why, what do you think that frustration is coming from even from early?
Because you see all these paintings in these museums, and I don't know, all these kids that can draw comics, because I was really into comics as well as a child. And my dad would always give me the strips when he would read the paper. So I'm like, oh, I want to make these images, and I know I can do this, but I can't do it yet. But I know if I just keep trying, I can kind of get better at it.
Yeah.
So just like holding on to that hope, that small bit of hope, even though you know, like you don't know, like nothing's for certain, but you're like, I can do this if I just keep trying, but also like, this is pissing me the fuck off. Like, why can't I do it? But
I remember this was like whenever I started to get into illustration, I think that it was kind of found in the fact that when I was in high school, like everybody that chose to be in painting and drawing was better at painting and drawing technically than I was. And yet I still had this like deep connection to it. And I think when I found illustration and I was, it was like band posters and stuff like that. And you, and I could see that it was about some kind of intuitive sense of color and shape and not so much about some technical prowess. That's where it was like, boom, I could do that. Like that's, there's something about the way I approach it that's like that. Was that like that for you?
Definitely, definitely. Once I got to undergrad and I discovered what illustration was in a more formal sense, that sent, like attracted me to it, and I knew that I could do it. So I was like, oh, okay, I love color and I'm really good at making shapes and I can play with this. And it doesn't have to be one set thing. I think I was coming at it from this perspective of like, art and design is just one set thing and it has to look like that. You have to follow these rules in order for you to make a proper picture.
Yeah.
But you, it's you, you know, it's whatever you make it.
What was it that called that out of you? Like, when did you discover illustration?
I always say I didn't quite know what illustration was until I came to undergrad and when I went to art school. Yeah. I mean, I was super attracted to fine art and that's where my lens was, but I was always around illustration, whether I knew it or not, just through picture books mainly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I have this memory of just the first time I had Snowy Day.
One of my favorites. And it's very shape-based.
Very shape-based. And I love pattern. I've always been attracted to pattern. So
yeah, lots of good patterns in there too.
Lots of great patterns in there. And it was
you remember spending time with it as a kid, like just feeling it?
Definitely. I mean, it was super important to me. And it was always a book that I would kind of like request that my parents would read to me. So it was just having that and then seeing someone who looked like me and those like people in my family.
Were you aware of in that book, or was there some kind of intuitive feeling of being aware of the representation in that book?
Yeah, I was like hyper aware of the representation in that book, honestly, because with art, I did see folks of color painting. It just kind of opened up but I didn't see it as often. And there was always this hesitation with me becoming an artist.
Yeah.
With my family. And they were just like, oh, well, we don't really know people who can do that successfully or make a living off of that or actually exist in that world. And because of that, it would just kind of put more pressure on me to kind of find folks who were doing that or folks that lived in those spaces, even though it was just like this amazing kid in the book enjoying like a snowy day. It was just showing that like, oh, hey, there's a possibility that I can do this and maybe make more things that exist in the world like this.
Yeah. And that meant something to you even when you're younger. You're thinking, this is something that involves me.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's so true. Even in a tiny way for me with people with ADHD, I get so invigorated with confidence when I come across a successful human, even in any arena that has ADHD. And I'm so, I gravitate and I'm magnetized to that because it does just literally. And this is why people, I know, you know, I think some people don't realize the power of representation, but there's some kind of glass ceiling that it busts off your head when you see someone like you doing stuff you never knew that you could do.
Exactly. Yeah. I used to put myself in so many different boxes. Also same, like I have ADHD and I'm And yes. I also discovered that I am dyslexic as well.
Oh man. Like, they do 24. Often go hand in hand.
Yeah. So it's just, I don't know. It definitely just showed you the possibilities of where you can go. And we often put ourselves in these boxes too. So I don't know. Representation is just so important to me in that way as well.
So you have some kind of experience with illustration as a kid, and you're going to, but really as you're, when you're little, it's more about art in general. So you go to school for art and it's not for illustration. How does that change?
So in my first year, it was really cool because we were able to explore different mediums and where we wanted to go and just kind of dabble in different courses. We didn't have to choose or declare a major yet. Yeah. So it's just like, I'm going in because I want to be a fine artist, painting or die. Like, this is what I want to do. but then I took a design course and I learned Photoshop and then I fell in love with it. I was like, there's something here with illustration. Let's see. So I stepped in this, they had like this little seminar and basically where you would go before you would declare your major. And you would kind of just experience different majors, you know, before you like dive in. And then, I don't know, I went to this illustration one and it just stood out to me and it was everything that I was interested in. And it was just like, okay, well, illustration isn't everything and it applies to everything that I want to do. I don't have to just sit in this one like state of mind. Like, I don't have to just choose this one thing. And with illustration, it just encompasses so many different things that it was kind of sexy to me. So I was like, let's do it.
One thing that kind of occurs to me as you're saying all that mm-hmm. is that you and I have talked a little bit about kind of visualization or, you know, setting an intention and goals in your future and making them into a reality. And then paired with this idea of representation, I feel like there's this thing going on here potentially where, like, one of the things I love about illustration is that what I think of it as is, like, photography is showing you what you can see mm-hmm. in different ways, maybe.
Yeah.
Whereas illustration is literally showing you things you couldn't see any other way. It's making imagery into reality. And that's why I like this idea of like drawing invisible things, like making invisible things visible. Like, to me, that's pure illustration. And it seems like even this idea of like representation, it's like you're able to represent future realities that don't exist. Because
exactly.
I think the author of Snowy Day is actually white. Is that correct?
Yeah, yeah. But he was just like, I just wanted to draw a kid.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's our reality now. But back then, that wasn't so visible.
And it's almost like he was, through illustration, manifesting future realities. Things like, hey, the picture book could look like this. And it opened all these different doors. And I wondered if one question I had for you was, I heard you talk about in one of your videos, the healing power of images. And I was thinking through whether you had ever done visualization through pictures, like drawn yourself in a future that you want to live in, or used it as a way to speak new realities into existence.
Yes, all the time. And that is definitely something I'm working on more within my work, because before I would kind of visualize things and manifest things through words, and I would just kind of write to myself.
Yeah.
But now I'm discovering new ways to do that visually, which is kind of funny because I didn't really give myself time to do that. I felt like I was kind of thrusted into my career, honestly, and I'm super thankful for it. But now I'm kind of giving myself room to play and do more things that I feel more connected to. Well, like just more things that I'm connected to and where I'm kind of heading. But yeah, definitely.
I was thinking we should do some kind of Instagram prompt between us. To get people to do that as a practice, because I was so inspired by the way that you talk about this and the way you think about images. And I started thinking about, doing goal setting through pictures instead of through words.
Yeah.
And just seeing, you know, what would my studio look like? What would the, you know, this wouldn't be in mine, but like, would there be like, you could, you know, put awards on the shelf and you can actually like create this future image with the power of your creativity. I wanted to ask you about, yeah, because you got thrust right into your career because you started doing professional work before you even graduated, right?
Yeah.
So can you just tell that story of what the past couple years have been? When did you graduate?
I graduated last May.
I didn't even know it was that recent. You have done a lot of freaking stuff in a little over a year. Oh my gosh. So yeah, can you just tell us what's happened in the past year?
Oh my God, so many things. Oh my God. So, I graduated.
You've had a busy year. That's for sure, right?
Yeah. It's been super busy. I had the amazing opportunity of just working with so many folks, like Google and The New Yorker. I've done 2 New Yorker covers within the past 2 years.
You've done tons of client work for a year. You've been busy. And now you're hitting a place where you're like, sometimes that wave takes you to places that you didn't intend to go. You're kind of stepping back and refocusing?
Yes, I'm definitely stepping back and refocusing. I mean, a lot of people don't think about, I know a lot of my colleagues and folks that I've graduated with were kind of in that in-between space of like, okay, where am I going? Why am I not working right now? As soon as school ended. And I really think that break after school ends is so important. Like, you really need that time to decompress and think and make and just figure out what it is that you actually want to make and not under the basis of like what someone's telling you to make. And I kind of figured out where I wanted to kind of go early on. But I think if I did have some time, like just a moment to breathe and really, think about like where I'm going and what my work wants to look like, then I don't know, my life probably would have been a little bit different, but I'm thankful for where it is. And I'm thankful that I can give myself that time now. Like, for so long, I was kind of just like in constant movement and flow. And then the flow stopped and I had to think about why it stopped, like mentally, and, you know, why I started to kind of feel just like an immense amount of anxiety and stress. And I was just putting too much pressure on myself. So that break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long ago did you feel like the flow was stopping?
I would say it kind of really hit me earlier this year. Earlier this year, for a moment, I knew I needed to give myself some time, but I just kept pushing. And then I would kind of just break down. I would just have like a breakdown and I would just be out for days and I wouldn't be able to really think anymore think about the work that I wanted to make anymore, or to be able to take on work or projects that I wanted or projects that I knew that I would love to do and that I could absolutely kick ass at. But I wasn't at my best mentally to be able to take them on. Mm.
And so do you feel like you're still very much in the process of getting in tune with that flow again? Or do you feel like you've gained some clarity?
Definitely a mix of both. And just being able to just step away for a moment, even if it's just drawing for myself or learning that it's okay to not draw at all, but to just think about ideas has been very clarifying for me and very helpful to me. I definitely feel like that flow is kind of like reaching back into my space again, thankfully. Yeah.
I feel like for me, if I don't feel like I have a sense of the narrative that's trying to be birthed through my life, that I get really shaken up and I get really untethered and I start kind of spiraling downward and I can't think right and nothing, up is down, down is up, all that kind of stuff. And for me, there has to be some kind of clarity of intention. I'm guessing, I could be wrong here, but it seems like whatever your goals were before you started working, is it true that you've probably gone past a lot of what you thought would maybe take a lot longer?
Yes.
And so maybe that put you in a weird space of like, now what do I want? Like, yeah. And it took me 10 years to do, like, I did not have the rocket success that you had. But when I, you know, for a good 5 years, I wanted to work with the New York Times. And then once I had, I was like, yeah, this is amazing. And then like 1 month later, I was like, oh no, I don't know what I want anymore. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, but the work doesn't stop. And so you don't know where your heart is. You don't know where you're going, all that. Is that kind of what's going on?
Yeah. And, you know, once you have that thought, it's like once you get that job that you've been kind of just like longing for, and you're like, this is why I do the work that I do. Yes. And like once I'm in this space, it's just over for everything else. But like, you know, I mean, you do that amazing job and you kill it and you do so good at it and you touch so many different people and that feels so good. But then it's like, okay, what's next? And then you have a bunch of people that are like, okay, well, you've done it all already. What else can you do?
Yeah, what and do you then, do when it's almost not even a year after school and people like Kamala Harris are tweeting about you?
Oh, God, yeah.
I can imagine, I can put, even though I did not experience that whatsoever, I can definitely see from your perspective. And I think whether it's, you know, achieving a goal or going beyond your goals or having some one of your paths and your intentions kind of blocked, I think everybody can relate to this feeling of, you know, some dream that you had is either fulfilled or negated. And how do you get back in touch with what the next calling is or what the calling really was? You know, maybe it wasn't about accolades or something, like getting deeper in touch with that.
Exactly. Yeah. And I had to realize just that it just isn't about, you know, the accolades or just being told like, you're great, you're amazing, but, or just to be able to be in these spaces and to say that you took this person on as a client, but it's just more than that. It's like, okay, does this piece bring you joy, essentially? Like, are you happy with the work that you're making? Are you happy with the subject matters that you're tackling? Is it important to you? Like, does it give people that hope that you kind of wanted to put into the work for yourself? And I was thinking more about that, and then things became more clear to me. Because before it was just like, I knew I wanted to be an illustrator and I knew that that's all that I wanted to do. All I ever wanted to do was draw. But it means much more to me now than before. Yeah. So now I'm just thinking about ways to make myself happy and to bring more joy into my work and to just bring more joy to other people through my work.
That's one of the biggest gifts that I have seen with people that have, you know, a really quick early journey is that they can kind of set aside the what of, you know, the goals or the accolades or whatever, because, you know, it reminds me of that Jim Carrey quote about, he says something like, I wish that everybody could have all their hopes and dreams so that they, or all their goals and all the money and fame they could ever want so that they would know that it wasn't the answer.
Yeah.
And I think you know, having New Yorker covers and these great people talking about you and, all this stuff, I think it seems like it's kind of, once you have that, you can be like, okay, that's nice, but it was never really about that. Like, yeah, it's supposed to be about the work.
Yeah. It was just supposed to be about the work. And I'm super thankful for those pieces because they helped me to realize much more about myself as an artist and where I'm going and where I would like to go too. Yeah. I mean, and even those pieces I feel are super monumental because
they are
in the way of just like showing just Black femmes on a cup, like in that space.
It's huge. It's historic.
It's huge. It's really important to me in that way. And I'm thankful that I was able to do that.
Think of how many kids are you giving the snowy day experience to? How many futures did you unlock and how many, you know, ceilings did you blow off from all these different types of people? I do not want to in any way belittle how huge and powerful that is, but I can imagine that once that stuff has passed, you all of a sudden want to get in touch with a deeper resonance for like what, you know, what's the thing. So you talked about the hope and joy in your work.
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered, it sounds like that's kind of your palette for images. Are there people that you have, you know, illustrators that have really embodied that work or that feeling in you through their work? Like, are there experiences where you're like, oh, they were, you know, I think of it often like a comedian, you know, they're trying to get laughs. And, you know, there's, if you're a wannabe comedian or you're trying to get into that, your inspiration comes from the people that made you laugh, how you want to make other people laugh. Were there people like that? Are there people like that even right now?
Oh, definitely. Oh my God. Yes. Like Lisa Congdon's work.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Definitely. I love a really good friend of mine, Shema Golden. Also Jamila Akubo is very talented as well.
Yeah. You have to give me these links so I can put them in the show notes.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to send you these links. Yeah. There's so many illustrators that definitely come to mind. And then also they're like painters like Kehinde Wiley, Kerry James Marshall, Toyin Oji Ajatola is an amazing illustrator and fine artist as well.
Mm. I keep thinking whether you have a... whether, you know, the hero journey that you are experiencing there, you know, it's this pattern of leaving home to a foreign land and then coming back to your true self. And it sounds like it seems like on the work that you're doing, it seems like you started in this place of fine art and going to the museums, and then you ventured out into illustration. You learned something. You learned something about how you like to make images and what you want to do with your work. And it seems like you kind of, you crossed off probably most illustrators' top goal in the first year. And I keep wondering do you think fine art is going to play a bigger role going forward? Do you think you're going to go back to that spiritual creative home?
Yes. And I'm going to definitely merge the worlds. But right now I do have some pieces planned that kind of go into the fine art world. I'm completely unfamiliar with that space because a lot of my work has been done in illustration. But I mean, honestly, I know there's a difference. I was about to say, what's the difference? But I know there's a difference. But yeah, I mean,
you got a list of credentials that are going to open some doors. And I'm very interested. I highly recommend people like industry and market hopping, you know, through the kind of side hopping with the weapons that you got from the previous market. Like, I mean, those credentials are definitely, there's people that came before you that did similar things, you know?
And yeah.
What are some of your hopes and dreams in that arena?
Honestly, I just want to do what makes me feel happy. Yes. And I just want to, I want to give myself space to play and experience and just be free about it and experience things. If I want to paint, I can paint. If I want to make an installation, I will, which is definitely where I feel like I want to, someplace that I want to go eventually. Mm. Or just illustration and just staying in illustration for as long as I can feels great to me too. But I don't want to put myself in any more boxes anymore, because for a while I felt like I was trapped where I am. Which is strange because I just got here, but I wasn't letting myself be as free as I thought that I was, but now I can give myself that room.
Skillshare sponsors this show. So I tried to talk in all S's, but that's all I got. Skillshare sponsors this show. So save Sally, Seamus. I love that word. But seriously, Skillshare, you know, there's a bunch of really good classes on there. And if you have the growth mindset, if you believe that where you are right now is not necessarily an indicator of where you're going to be tomorrow, the factor that changes everything is continued education and growth. So step into that growth mindset. Here's one class that I picked out. It's called Start a Successful Art Account on Instagram by Maria Lisa Maladrino. And I'll put the link in the show notes to that class. This person has around 60,000 followers on Instagram. And if you'd like to be in that category, go check out that class. I think it's right in line with things we talk about on this show every week. This show is also sponsored by you. Well, that is if you've ever given back to the show through patreon.com/creativepeptalk. Every bit helps. If you sign up to the $2 amount, you get access to a back catalog of peppy talks, which are miniature behind the scenes versions of this show. Usually I'm like on the verge of tears because I'm so excited or moved by an idea. If you want to hear me cry, go to patreon.com/creativepeptalk and become a backer today. These Patreon backers are the creative pepperonis. They make this show happen, and we couldn't do it without you. Thank you for being a true fan and going on this mission long-term with me. We love you. Back to our regular programming. Let's drill down on something that is esoteric and impossible to grasp. That's the kind of stuff that I try to talk about. But with this idea of feeling hope and feeling joy through imagery, do you have any memories of being particularly struck by an image, even as, you know, even recently, and what it was they were doing that accomplished that? I know this is like deep shop talk, but I get very obsessed with how do I reverse engineer an emotion or an outcome in my audience, because I so enjoy a master who can make me cry or stop me in my tracks and get my attention or make me laugh or have a visceral response to creativity. And I like to learn the craft of that. You know what I mean? What are the things that you are putting in your utility belt, or what are the experiences where you felt you really felt on a visceral level something? Is that a clear enough question?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, anytime I see a Jillian Tamaki piece, I'm just in awe, because the way that they can just communicate things visually is just, and I really want to tap into that, like whatever that they're doing. I'm so impressed by it. And then also I was in London for a little bit, so I definitely went around to a few shows and some galleries, and I just checked out this Faith Ringgold exhibit, and that was super special and so beautiful. And her paintings and her quilts, definitely, like, I was in tears.
So Lisa Congdon and Jillian Tamaki both use words as well as pictures, and I'm very fascinated with, I think the relationship between illustration and writing is about the same as acting and writing. Like, it's nearly impossible to really act at the top level without writing. You know what I mean? You could stand there in a moat, but it wouldn't be it wouldn't be a finished, you know, piece. It wouldn't be a film. It wouldn't be a TV show. And so I'm very interested in this symbiotic relationship between illustration and writing. And as people like Lisa Congdon and Jillian Tamaki, I feel like there's that space in where you're writing with pictures and you're drawing with words. You know, by the words you're choosing, you're determining what the pictures are going to be. And there's just this weird kind of relationship. And I feel like that's where illustration is its most powerful, when the writing's good and when the writing's coming from the illustrator, which I feel like Lisa is so, so good at that. And that's often when I'm feeling those strong feelings from someone like Lisa or Jillian, it's that space in between those things. Have you done any writing?
Oh yeah. not professionally, but I'm relearning how to write right now. Cause for a while I would, when I was younger, especially just making comics just for fun or writing, making little picture books for myself for fun. I didn't really know what I was doing, but I was having fun. And that's more important now. And I'm kind of rediscovering that within myself now. Like, I'm giving myself more space to just be free and to just write if I need to. If I want to be able to put words in my illustrations, I can now, because that was something that was kind of talked down when I was in art school.
Yeah.
Yes. But now I'm like, you know what? We can do writing. We can kind of encourage more of that into the work and like introduce that more into the work. And also thinking about haikus or poetry and putting that into the work to be able to inform like what the illustrations will look like or feel like.
That's awesome. So that's something you're already exploring?
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. That's so funny. Are you in my head right now? Like,
one other question I had about that, because you mentioned a lot of great artists that were really inspiring to you, and that's kind of defines your people in terms of the art that you make. Do you feel like you have assembled in your mind what differentiates you, not just visually, but, you know, content-wise, experience-wise, what you want to do in your work? What's the difference between you and these people that inspire you? Have you spent much time in that space? I mean, clearly your work is very you, but I wonder what core values or thoughts, or what do you think, what are the pieces that make up that niche that only you exist in?
I'm very curious about diving into more things about mental health. I do get some projects that are mental health focused, but I'd love to dive more into it because it's something that's been very prevalent in my life. Just with struggling with depression, anxiety too, and just having folks in my life that struggle with bipolar disorder or just their own issues. Agoraphobia is also a thing that has been in my life as well. So it's like all of these different subject matters about mental health are important to me, and I kind of want to, you know, make more work about them, along with, you know, just more subjects about, or just more topics about joy and exploring that to be able to heal myself and others. I started drawing just the way that I do and making the work that I do to heal myself and to help myself, like, hold on to that hope.
Like aspirational imagery. Like you're, how does that, is there practices, or how have you learned to approach that? Is there, 'cause I think a lot of people would be interested in, I don't know, what does that practically look like, healing yourself through making images? I don't know. Do you have any tips or anything you've experienced or learned that's been particularly healing through that process?
Definitely. When I am focusing on just self-healing and I'm in those moments of just like when things just don't feel like they're going the way that it should, or I feel that it should, I'm just taking extra time to take care of myself and to really sit with myself, whether that is through like meditation or just writing affirmations or just checking in with myself. Like, I've been doing a lot of inner child healing. I'm not sure if you, and I think with just being an artist or an illustrator, we're naturally tapping into that because our work is so connected to our childhood in so many different ways. So just with trying to heal my inner child and going back to certain ages that I've been at and checking in with that girl or that person and just communicating with that and then making work based off of that experience or based how I want to feel, that's been kind of helpful.
Man, that, I love that. And I don't think I'd ever thought about that in my own experience. One idea that I revisit really often, I'm very like, we're making an episode right now that has a lot like time travel as a as kind of a theme.
Yes,
of going back to your past self or your future self coming back to yourself now, and what, you know, the things you would say to your present self from your future self and all that kind of thing. I very much like to toy around with that idea that, according to physicists, time is a construct of our minds and all things are existing at the same time. And I do feel very in touch with the past version of me and the future as if they're very much present in the reality. And that kind of goes back to earlier, we were talking about the power of illustration to, you know, I think about it two ways, kind of like alchemy. In that you take paper and you can turn, if you're a paid illustrator even, you can turn paper into money, which is pretty weird. That's kind of like a true alchemy. And then I also think about it like what we were saying earlier about, you know, visualization, but with pictures, not just in your brain, and the power of illustration to show things that couldn't exist. Even like as concept artists, you know, for movies, like them inventing the way this movie's going to look that has never been seen before. Like that seems like the job of the illustrator. And this thing you're talking about, going back to earlier phases and how when you were young and even painting pictures in your mind of what you wanted it to be, or healing that you wanted to go on there. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, that's definitely what I'm saying. And even just you checking in with your 16-year-old self and, you know, noticing your patterns and how they show up in your life now, you know, it is essentially time traveling.
Do you have anything you want to plug? I know you got some sweet earrings in your Etsy shop that I'm very enthusiastic about.
Ooh, yeah, I got to send you a pair. Yeah, I have those earrings and I have another pair of earrings coming out. The shop will be up next week because I won't be on vacation anymore. And I just dropped a bunch of shirts as well, which will be up in the shop as well, and tote bags. Sweet. And I'm looking forward to make more illustrated pieces. So that's cool.
Fantastic. Where can everybody find you?
You can find me at loveiswiseillu, ILLU, on Instagram. And that's the only place you can find me because that's where I'm frequently at.
That's pretty good. that's a good spot. If you're going to choose a spot, I think that's the right one for illustrators. Well, thank you so much for doing this. This was really enlightening, and I feel more full having had this conversation than when we started. So I really appreciate it.
Likewise. Thank you so much, Andy.
Huge thanks to my friend Love Is Wise. If you're not familiar with her work, go check her out on Instagram at Love Is Wise Illu, ILLU. If you don't, LOVE. ISWISEILLU. Go check it out. Why don't you have your phone in your hand? Get it out of your pocket. Type it into Instagram. Go check out her work. Some really, truly lovely stuff. You're gonna have a nice little time scrolling through that stuff. Thanks again, Love Is, for being on the show. I'm so pumped we finally got you on this show. Don't forget, we're illustrating our futures, visualizing our futures. It doesn't have to be, maybe it's magic, maybe it's not. Who cares? For me personally, the process of this kind of daydreaming about my future has been a huge help to my whole self, my whole brain, my conscious, my subconscious, getting aligned and then working towards those goals. And so, let's have a little bit of fun. Hashtag illustrate your future, whether you're an illustrator or just a musician or just a writer. You know, not everybody can be an illustrator. I don't know what that means. But whoever you are, wherever you are, even if you're not the most confident in your drawing skills, I'd like to see you give it a try. Draw yourself in the desired future. 5 years in the future, what do you want it to look like? What's the room you're in look like? Where are you making work? What are you surrounded by? How have things changed? I'm going to try to participate in this later this week as well. Try it. Hashtag illustrate your future on CP on Instagram, and I will follow that and be chiming in. Go try it. Thanks to Yoni Wolf and the band Y for our theme music. Thanks to Alex Sugg for our soundtrack. Thanks to Chris Graham for recording and mastering help from Chris Graham Mastering. You can check out his podcast, Six Figure Home Studio, if you're in the audio space. Thanks to all of you for showing up and listening every single week. We love you. We couldn't do it without you. Thanks, and until next week, stay pepped up.